Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour here on Fesco and Dusty. With Mac Morey as well.
On a Tuesday. I just want to win, Jim.
Going to. As we dive on into this show, make sure you follow us on Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. You can check it out, like and subscribe to it. And then you can watch it and listen to it and be like Maloney and go back and watch it later tonight if you want to even. Check out the podcast page at the Odyssey app as well. Fesco and Dusty, it is my bare face. No facial hair. I look like I was robbed of the cradle from Bob. Come here, kid. Do this show. But seriously, grow your facial hair back. You're scaring me. But no, I thought that some people got it yesterday. And what I mean by some people getting it is the execs, coaches, scouts, all the above of the people that actually do matter when it comes to ranking players in the league. And no surprise here, all these experts, literally experts, had Patrick Mahomes as the number one quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say, they did start this article off with the ranking of Patrick Mahomes. And the first line says Mahomes' grip on the top spot is loosening slightly after dominating the voting with back-to-back number one rankings in convincing fashion. Mahomes got about 60% of the first place votes this year, which is still impressive, but well short of last year when he received all but one first place vote. Mm-hmm. So we talk scorched earth. We talk new haircut. We talk revamped offense. I know he's not reading these articles. Maybe he is. He's got some time off and probably bored at this point. But agree or disagree that he has kind of lost that strength of being just clear-cut favorite, number one, dominant.
Well, I think if you listen to the people in the national media who are looking for different ways to spin the NFL, they will say that he's lost that stranglehold on number one. And then when you start to get really into the kind of the teeth of the article, which I really enjoyed actually when I started to read it, they started to talk about all the things that have gone wrong for Patrick Mahomes. And they I don't want to say they made excuses, but they spoke reality. And I think that's important when evaluating what Patrick Mahomes has done over these last 2 years. The reality is he has not been surrounded by a really good cast. I mean, it's like having a star in a show and than having, you know, D-listers kind of all around you, and that star can prop you up only so much and take you to the Super Bowl for three straight years. I mean, what Patrick Mahomes has done over these last really 2 years with this offense should be considered probably his two best years ever, because he took such less talent and changed them and converted them and made them champions 1 year and took them to the Super Bowl the next year. You know, with the wide receiver injuries that we've talked about, the uncertainty at the left tackle position, and really along the offensive line. At one point, once you started moving guys around, the entire left side of your offensive line was kind of in shambles. And so I think when you look at what Patrick Mahomes has had to play with over the last 2 years, if you really wanted to make the case, you could say those were his two best offensive years because he was doing it with subpar talent. Now he's got everybody back. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready to go for this team. And a lot of people are looking at Patrick Mahomes coming off those two down years going, oh boy, Patrick Mahomes is on the downslide. And then he goes out there this year and has a big year. People are going to say, oh, Patrick Mahomes is back. Patrick Mahomes hasn't changed as a quarterback. The talent has changed around him, and he's taken subpar talent and elevated him to Super Bowl level. What can he do when he has a healthy complement of people? I mean, they may put up numbers that we've never seen before in the NFL if everybody stays healthy and they do what we think they're going to do.
It's almost like the opposite of the Jalen Hurts approach, right? Jalen Hurts needs a team around him. Patrick Mahomes can make a team around
him.
Yes. Right? You look at MVS, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, guys like that, Juju Smith-Schuster, taking them to a Super Bowl and winning.
Justin Watson.
On one ankle.
Watson, yes!
And then last year, obviously, getting there as well and then falling short in a dramatic fashion. But I will say this, like, I kind of agree that it's not clear cut in a way because of what the numbers do tell, because it is 2 years in a row. But I also agree with the point that I always try to remind people of, like you had just mentioned, look at the surrounding cast. Like, he has had shakeups in the offensive line. He has had shakeups in the wide receiver. Well, then that's why his numbers are down. That's why this is okay. But he still, if you let this wolf into the door, and what I mean by that is, like, if you let him in the playoffs, I don't care if it's a seven seed or a one seed, anywhere in between those seeds, he's going to be more perfect than every other quarterback in these divisions because he just knows how to get it done there. So I think that's the one thing that is very much separated from all the other quarterbacks. Yes, the numbers and the eye-popping statistics aren't there, especially after like the first 5 years in the league, he was putting up 4,000 plus and 30 plus touchdowns. And then the last couple of years, it's gone down a bit. But again, he's had the bank of the defense. He's had the crutch of Travis Kelce. Now let's see if these guys can stay on the field a little bit longer. Moving down the list, Josh Allen sits at number two. Number three is Joe Burrow. Number four is Lamar Jackson. Number five, Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm.
And these are picked by the executives and coaches around the NFL.
And scouts.
And that's why, for me, it means more than somebody sitting behind their computer at Semi-Pro Football out of focus naming who the best quarterback is in the NFL, because the executives and coaches actually look at, you know, the entire body of work and what it's all about. And, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, you know, going scorched earth this year because everybody says he can't, it's going to be a lot of fun to see all these people kind of eat their words where it has been with Patrick Mahomes. And so I love when the coaches sit down and the executives sit down and the scouts sit down and go, all right, who's really the best quarterback? Let's look at it from the big picture standpoint. You're starting a team. You're taking Patrick Mahomes. He's the best winner in American professional sports today. There's nobody better than Patrick Mahomes when it comes to winning in sports. I am taking Patrick Mahomes. And another cool thing about Mahomes is that his third down percentage last year, completing passes on third down, 53.1% of the passes he completed on third down last year went for a first down. So he makes his plays count. Like, he was very efficient last year. He wasn't stylistic last year. He wasn't sexy last year, but boy, was Patrick Mahomes efficient last year and doing what he was able to do with the talent that surrounded him. And now, once that talent has changed and it's different and it's better than it was a season ago, we're really going to be able to open things up. And so I think that's why most of these folks still have Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the NFL, because they know the circumstances that surrounded Patrick Mahomes the last couple of years.
Mac, you like that top five?
Yeah, I'm completely fine with that. I would have Stafford at six, at five, Daniels at six, but completely fine with that. Yeah, and I think you can make the analogy from Mahomes to a basketball player that's gotten more mature, and instead of scoring 30 points per game, maybe then they're out at 26, but they have more assists, they have less turnovers, they're doing more on the defensive side of the ball. If you really watch them play the game, you're like, man, he's a full player. He's diversified his game in the matter of a couple of seasons. That's what we're seeing out of Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need the 50-yard bomb. He doesn't need to score 45 points. He can do it dink and dunk, get down the field. Oh, you need a 6-minute drive to end the game? Done.
Well, I think also, too, to your point, Mac, I think Patrick Mahomes has now shown us he can win in any way possible. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the players. It doesn't matter the situation. He knows how to transform his game to what the game has been dictating all along, right? Okay, fine. If we need to dink and dunk this thing, now I know that I can win a game that way, and he can go out and win a game that way. You need that 50-yard bomb, a play at the end to win that game? I know I can make that play. I got Worthy. I got Rice. Like, there's not anything on the field in the course of the game, in that playbook, in anybody's playbook, quite honestly, that Patrick Mahomes can't go out there and execute to the best of his abilities better than anybody else in the NFL. He knows how to win in so many different ways. He knows how to win when he has to score 55. He also knows how to win when he only needs to score 20, but also needs to protect the ball at the end and go on an 8-minute drive at the end of a game to seal a game. He knows how to win close games. He knows how to win in blowouts. He knows how to win at home. He knows how to win on the road. He knows how to win in the regular season. He knows how to win in the postseason. Like, there's nothing that Patrick Mahomes hasn't seen, and there's no circumstance in which he can't win and hasn't proven that he can't win.
Mac alluded to it earlier, the rest of the top five, Matthew Stafford at six, Justin Herbert at seven, Jared Goff at eight, Jalen Hurts at nine, and Baker Mayfield at 10.
That's a good one. That's America's quarterback right now. I mean, unless, you know, you're rooting for yours, but everybody's rooting for Baker. Dude, shotgun and beers, people like that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're relatable, you become more likable,
mm-hmm.
and I think you become more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Relatable sells.
Like, it does.
If you could, it's like watching the Home Run Derby last night, watching all-star athletes have the same facial reaction that I had. I knew in that moment we were all the same,
mm-hmm.
and that, to me, sells. And that, to me, is enjoyable.
For sure.
And that's the way that works. When guys are out there and they're just like, yeah, we just do this, we do that, you're like, okay, I can't relate to that. You sound robotic, right? Like,
right.
Tiger Woods in the 90s was not relatable. He was awesome at golf, and then he was a robot in interviews, and then as he got older, he became a bro.
Right?
He was just like, yeah, I effed up in my career, but now I'm just, you know, all this sort of stuff, playing at TGL, that kind of stuff, becomes more relatable, becomes more likable, becomes more enjoyable.
Right.
And I think that's what sells with athletes. And I think when they do that and they captivate that and they know that, George Kittle, he gave the Miz a super kick at the Tahoe tournament. closet wrestling fans everywhere came out like, yeah, I know what that is. That's Shawn Michaels' finishing move. Like, everyone realizes that. Steph Curry, relatable. Goes out there, is funny, makes fun of LeBron James's golf swing. LeBron James, not relatable.
Mm-mm, not relatable at all.
So not enjoyable. Yeah.
Was Jordan relatable? I don't think Michael Jordan was really relatable at all.
To the gambling addict.
Yeah, but right. not to the average player. Like, I thought last night, Major League Baseball, to your relatable point, did a really good job of making the Home Run Derby relatable to the average fan. They brought in all sorts of different people from all different walks of life. They had, you know, McAfee there. They had Livy Dunn there. They had, you know, some celebrities in the ballpark. They had the athletes watching and reacting, as Dusty said, you know, kind of like we were reacting last night. I thought they did a pretty good job of making that event relatable, you know, to the audience. But I think that's like the Big Dumper. People like him because if his nickname wasn't the Big Dumper, how many people would know Cal Raleigh seriously outside of the Seattle area? But you know his nickname. He's the Big Dumper. He's got a big butt. He embraces that. He hits home runs. You can relate to that because we've all been that fat kid with a big butt before, like me. I love Cal Raleigh. The nickname, though, sets him over the top. He became For relatable sure. to everybody. And even if he doesn't like that nickname, and I don't know if he does or he doesn't, he's embraced that nickname, and he's used that nickname to help him take his game to that next level. He's going to be a marketing genius right now. And that's how you become marketable in Major League Baseball. Again, as I've talked about for the last week or so, I'm over the Major League Baseball doesn't market their players. Players have to be willing to be marketed and embrace the marketing and embrace the fans. Like Vinny Pasquantino.
Relatable.
Unbelievable what Vinny's doing. And I told him that the other night. I said, the way that you're doing the off-the-field stuff to set yourself up for the future is brilliant. Vinny is relatable. He's on there tweeting last night during the Home Run Derby. He had some great, funny, ha-ha tweets and things of that nature bring you inside the game of what's going on. Vinny Pasquantino is relatable. Vinny Pasquantino should be the face of what's going on here in Kansas City because he's the most relatable athlete that we have right now on the baseball side of things. He's an everyday dude who was a low draft pick that fought his way up, that has had a grind the entire time, and look where he is. And he's funny, he's humorous, he's everywhere, he's relatable, he's personable, he's a great dude. Like, Vinny Pasquantino needs to be the new face of the Royals once Salvi moves away because everybody loves Salvi. Travis Kelce, same way, has become this relatable guy. Even though he's dating the biggest superstar on planet Earth, he still seems to be a very relatable guy that, like, everybody can identify with. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to be. That's how you market athletes. It's not about Major League Baseball or the NFL marketing these guys. It's about them allowing themselves to be marketed, allowing themselves to be, you know, kind of put out there in an uncomfortable situation, and then embracing it. Look at all these guys that are the biggest stars in sports. They're all relatable guys right now. That's what America wants.